A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to all the people of Israel, "Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear and observe it?' No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Matthew. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The word of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. With this simple and profound invitation, Jesus called his first disciples to join him, on a mission to make the world as it was meant to be, and to bring everyone along with it. These were the first disciples, the fiercest disciples, the ones mentioned again and again in Scripture, who became the bedrock of the new community of faith in Jesus Christ. Their names were Peter, James, John, and Andrew? Andrew, the younger brother of Simon Peter, is only mentioned twice in Matthew's gospel. Perhaps it is foolish to claim him as one of the greatest. And yet here he is, mentioned among the mighty from the very beginning? Was he simply forgotten? Or was his ministry something more? Perhaps his importance was not in being first, but in bringing a foundation. His greatness not in being fierce, but in leading to formation. Like the background energy that pervades the entire universe, Andrew was a vital yet almost imperceptible force that helped Jesus show the truth about God and what it meant to be truly human. Now, while Matthew scarcely mentioned him, John, in his gospel, revealed to us Andrew's foundational and formational ministry. In John's gospel, it is Andrew who, after spending the day with Jesus, goes to find Simon, his brother, to tell him he has found the Messiah. Andrew brings Simon back to Jesus, whereupon Jesus immediately changes Simon's name to Peter. Peter, the rock upon which Jesus would build his church, was brought to Jesus by Andrew. Andrew laid the foundation for Peter to become Christ's foundation. Later on, John tells us that two Greek men wanted to speak with Jesus. Greek men, outside of the Jewish understanding of God's goodness and grace, came looking for that goodness and grace. And it was Andrew who brought these men, seeking all that God had for them, to Jesus. And then Jesus offered them everything they could possibly want and all that they would ever need. Andrew brought the ungodly to the very feet of God and opened Jesus' ministry beyond the Jewish people, to every people, all people, to you and to me. Finally, John tells us of a miracle. Jesus, having love for them and seeing their need, saw the massive crowd and asked, "Where are we to buy bread for all these people?" 5,000 strong, the disciples were dumbfounded. 6 months' wages would barely scratch the need. And yet, there is Andrew, confused as well, disheartened even. And yet he brings to Jesus a little boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And with that, Jesus commands a feast that feeds them all, fills them up, and even provides leftovers. Jesus sees the hunger of his people, and it is Andrew who brings to Jesus the little boy with his little basket. Andrew connects the hungry to he who will satiate that hunger, the goodness and grace, abundantly so, of Jesus Christ. And so while Andrew is superficially absent in most of the gospel's main events, he reveals to us a deeper event, a rhythm, a practice, a way of being in which he brings to God what God wants. Andrew connects to God all that needs connection. And he does this very simply by being connected himself, by first and foremost bringing himself to God, so that the story of Andrew is not Andrew's story, but rather the story of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And so in Andrew, Moses' words from our first reading have been made true through Christ's grace. Moses proclaimed that God's commandment, God's invitation, is not in the abstract and unreachable beyond, but it is here and now, present to us to be engaged with and practiced in, participated in, daily. You see, ultimately, it is not what we do that defines us, but what we do repeatedly, again and again and again, that is what defines us. What we practice, we become, whether we like it or not. Jesus invites us to practice his ways so that they become our ways, just like they were the ways of Andrew. Moses also proclaimed that God's commandment, God's invitation, was not across the sea. It does not require an arduous or exhausting, perhaps impossible journey. Rather, it is like the air we breathe, the food that we eat, and the blood that pumps through our veins. It is that which is truly us, and what we truly need to be who we truly are. All we have to do is recognize it is so. Just like Andrew saw his true identity as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so we, you and me, we are invited eagerly by God to bring the world into its fullness, all that it was meant to be. To bring to God all that God wants, and connect to God all that needs connection. So as a literal translation of Moses' words reads, so let us do it. For it is near to you, the word exceedingly so, in your mouth and in your heart, to do it. So let's do it. Let's do it like Andrew. Let's bring the world to Jesus, allowing Jesus to transform the world into what it was always meant to be. But like Andrew, let us first bring ourselves, and Jesus will transform us into the fierce and faithful people we were meant to be.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Kate Moorhead, and on behalf of St. John's Cathedral, I would like to welcome you here tonight. We're so glad that you're here with us to worship in this beautiful Anglican tradition, and we welcome the St. Andrew Society and these wonderful pipers. We are so grateful to have our beautiful choir and pipe organ here and to be able to praise God. I want to invite you following this service to a reception, which is in Tolliver Hall, just this way through the doors, where there'll be food and things to drink, and our bookstore will be open, so if you want to do some Christmas shopping, all of the proceeds go to ministries in this community and throughout the world. I also call your attention to a little flyer we have in your pews. We are starting an endowment called the Stanley and Claudia Gordon Endowment to support this beautiful pipe organ so that it will be able to be maintained for many, many years to come. So if you're interested in making a donation to keep our organ singing beautifully, we would be very grateful. Welcome.
Thank you.
Please kneel as we say our final prayers and blessing.
O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love, and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purpose on earth, that in your good time all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Eternal God, in whose perfect kingdom no sword is drawn but the sword of righteousness, no strength known but the strength of love, so mightily spread abroad your Spirit that all peoples may be gathered under the banner of the Prince of Peace, as children of one Father, to whom be dominion and glory now and forever. Amen.
O God, whom saints and angels delight to worship in heaven, be ever present with your servants who seek, through art and music, to perfect the praises offered by your people on earth. And grant to them, even now, glimpses of your beauty. And make them worthy at length to behold it unveiled forevermore. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.